There was a story of a monk. He was in a contemplative community, and bago siya tinanggap, napakahirap talaga, no? Because he cannot talk. Hindi siya makapagsalita. And so it took a while bago siya tinanggap sa community. And maybe they look at him as someone na baka magpapabigat lang sa community and everything. So the quality of a monk that they're looking for, wala sa kanya. But finally, nandun lang siya sa monastery, araw-araw naglilinis, you know. You see, it's not an excuse when people don't accept you. It's not an excuse not to serve anymore. Dahil hindi ka tinatanggap, hindi na lang ako magsiserve. So he did not make that excuse. What he did was, since hindi naman siya tinatanggap sa loob, nandun siya sa labas naglilinis every day. Kaya yung monastery nila, yung simbahan nila, napakalinis talaga because of that person. And finally, the new abbot, yung pinaka-superior, called him at tinawag siya, sinabi sa kanya na pwede na siyang pumasok at mag-join sa community nila. And he became a monk. And, you know, hindi siya matalino. He doesn't know how to read and write. Hindi pa siya pwede makapagsalita. So what he does was menial tasks. But this monk has a heart for those who are suffering. Every time may naririnig siya nagkakasakit dun sa bayan, in the town, he would go. He would bring some vegetables and fruits. And he would always pray. Hindi naman maintindihan yung sinasabi niya. He could not even preach the gospel. He could not even comfort people with his words. He just goes there and visit the sick until that sick person is well, hanggang gumaling yung tao na yan. Ganun din, pag may namatay sa village, this monk will go and he would stay with the family and comfort them. He could not speak, he could not share the gospel, but every day he makes himself available to the community. Wala siyang pinipiling tao, kahit ibang relihiyon. Wala siyang pinipili ng status ng tao, mayaman o mahirap. If they are suffering, he would go and help. Try to help. And so one day, nagising yung mga tao, napansin nila, hindi na pumupunta yung monk sa lugar nila. And they were looking, they were searching for this person, but they could not find him. And finally, the people from the town went to the monastery and looked for him, and they found out that he already passed away. Namatay na siya. And the whole town grieved for him. And the abbot, yung pinaka-superior, was surprised. Bakit kilala nilang yung monk na yan? Hindi naman nagsasalita, hindi naman nagsesermon sa misa. But everybody went to the monastery to pay tribute to him. Why? Because he may not be able to preach the gospel with his mouth, but he was able to live it out every day in his life. Why do I share this with you? Because today we are going to talk about the mission of the church. And it is very important that we understand our mission in life. But before we go to that, let us look at our first reading today para maintindihan natin yung context ng pag-aaralan natin tong mission na sinasabi ni Lord. No? In the Old Testament reading today, we see how God chose Israel to be His own people. Kadami-dami namang tribes sa mundo. You have the Persians, they're very strong people. Napakatalino ng mga Persian, they were advanced in technology. God did not choose them. You have other people who are much stronger, much capable, But God chose Israel, a weak people. He chose them for a mission. Ganon ang Diyos eh. Hindi naman tumitingin sa kakayanan natin. And I ask this question, why of all people sa kadami-daming mga tribes, sa kadami-daming mga tao, sa kadami-daming bayan noon na matatalino, malalakas, much ability, why would God choose these shepherds and farmers? Maybe God saw something in them. May nakita siguro ang Diyos sa kanila na napamahal sila sa Diyos. That's why the calling of Israel is not about qualification, it's not about their strength, it's about God's love for them. Mahal siya ng Diyos. God loved these people because God saw something in them which no one else could see. Ganon din sa buhay natin. We have to reflect on that. If God chooses you, if God selects you, probably He saw something in you na napamahal siya sa'yo. Okay? That's the only reason. He doesn't look at our qualification, how good we are, how perfect we are. No, He doesn't do that. He looks at your heart. And there is something there that He see and He loves. Nagustuhan ng Diyos at pinipili niya. And they were chosen for a mission. Meron silang gagawin. And we see this in Moses going up to Mount Sinai, you know. Akala natin talaga commandment kaagad, utos kaagad ng Diyos. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And you know, when Moses encountered God, when Israel encountered God in Mount Sinai, we always think of the Ten Commandments. But take note, bago yung Ten Commandments, bago binigay ng Diyos yung kanyang utos sa kanila. You know what He did? He reminded them. Pinaalaala sa kanila. What was God reminding them? Well, ganito yan. I brought you out of Egypt and I carried you like, you know, an eagle on eagle's wings, sabi niya. He was telling Israel how much God loves them. Kaya, minsan sa isip natin, pag naisip natin ang Diyos, puro utos ang Diyos. Bawal yan, huwag mong gawin yan, huwag mong gawin to, huwag mong ganyan. You know, and sometimes we get so overburdened with the commandments of God, and we tend to forget that it's not just about the commandment, but God, first of all, before He gave the commandment, He reminded, I love you. Amen? Amen? Hindi mabigat ang utos ng Diyos pag alam natin na mahal tayo ng Diyos. And every commandment that He gave us, the Ten Commandments, is not for His good, but it is always for our good. Amen? So that's the first reading. The second reading, again, in Christ, we are reminded of the love of God for us. The trials that we are going through, sabi ni, in the second reading, sinasabi doon, we may go through trials, we may go through testings, you know. Don't be overwhelmed by the trials. Don't just focus on the trials. Remember that the testings will bring perseverance in you. Amen? Kailan tayo magkakaroon ng perseverance kung hindi tayo haharap ng pagsubok? So sabi niya, the perseverance is important when we go through testings and trials. Yes, it brings perseverance in us. And perseverance brings out character. Kaya pag may nakausap kang tao na hindi dumaan sa hirap, hindi dumaan sa pagsubok, ay nako, hindi makaintindi pagdating sa buhay, doesn't understand you. But if you are talking to someone na dumaan talaga sa pagsubok ng buhay, dumaan sa mga mahirap na sitwasyon sa buhay, pag nakakausap mo, relate ka agad. Naintindihan ka niya. Okay? That is why the second reading reminds us, yes, the testings and the trials are going to be there. We will have tribulation. Yan ang sabi ni Jesus. But that is not meant to destroy you. The testing and the trials are not meant to destroy your life. It's meant, designed by God, to bring out perseverance in us. And perseverance will bring out character. You know, lalabas yung tunay na pagkatao mo. And that character will bring hope. Yan ang sinasabi niya. And sabi niya, the hope will not disappoint. You know, in the midst of the trials, you will continue to hope. You will learn to hope in God. Kahit madilim na ang palibot, madilim na ang sirkumstansya ng buhay mo, marunong kang magpailaw sa isip at sa puso mo. Ano yung ilaw na yan? Yun yung ilaw ng pag-asa. It's the light of hope. You know, you may be in a very difficult situation now. You may be in the midst of a crisis in your life right now and everything seems to be dark around you. But if you have hope, which is the product of our character, the Christ-like character in you, you will have hope, then you will have the light from within you. And sabi niya, that hope will never disappoint you. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Why do we continue to hope when it is dark already? You know why? Because of the Holy Spirit inside you. What does He do? He reminds you of the love of God for you. You know, observe in your life, pag naghihirap ka na, ang dami mo ng hinaharap na problema and sometimes it seems like it's hopeless, then there is that something inside you that just wells up and comes out. You begin to realize, my God loves me. Mahal ako ng Diyos. Minsan, pag marami akong problema ang hinaharap, inuunahan ko na kaagad yung sarili ko. Sinasabi ko na ngayon, mahal ako ng Diyos. Salamat, Lord, sa pagmamahal mo sa akin, sa pag-ibig. When I'm in turmoil, when I'm so faced up with so many problems, I look at the cross and I see Jesus hanging on the cross. That is a picture of God's love for you. Amen? Amen? The cross, the crucifix in particular, reminds me of how God loves me. When I see that person on the cross, suffering, tumutulo yung dugo niya, hirap na hirap siya. It's an evidence, it's a reminder that God loves me. That's why the hope that I have in God will never disappoint me because the love of God is within me. I know this God who loves me will never, never, never forsake me. Not for a single moment. Hindi ka mawawala sa paningin ng Diyos. Not a single moment. You may feel sometimes that nobody knows what you're going through. You may feel sometimes na nag-iisa ka na lang sa problema mo. Yeah, that's a feeling that we all go through. And yet, there is God who looks at you every second of the day. He doesn't miss. He watches over you. Amen? Amen? This hope will never disappoint because of the love of God in you. How did He demonstrate that love? Well, sabi niya, for a good man, someone might die. Someone might give his life for someone who is good. But for sinners, no one will die for them except Jesus. So the Lord Himself died for us. That is a reminder of the love of God for all of us. And now we go to the gospel. We go now to the mission that God has given the church. But before we go to that, I would just like us to look at a few verses bago natin basahin yung gospel. Our gospel today is taken from Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 to 8. Let's go back for a while para maintindihan natin yung gospel natin. Balikan muna natin yung chapter 9. The last portion, verse 36, kasi medyo nahiwalay siya no, sa gospel na yan. Pero magkasama yan actually, no? And this is what Matthew chapter 9 says bago natin basahin yung gospel natin, no? In Matthew chapter 9, itong sinasabi ito, verse 36, "But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Then we go to chapter 10 now. This is our gospel now. "And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits." So, yun yung gospel natin. But take note, bago dyan, he talks about Jesus having compassion on the multitude. Tayo, pag tinitingnan natin maraming tao, you know, sometimes we get irritated pag maraming tao. Meron pa ngang iba, pag maraming tao, nagpa-panic attack. I had panic attack one time. I was in Boracay, naglalakad kami doon, and there were so many people. It was at the peak of summer, at punong-puno ng tao ang Boracay. I was there, and suddenly I had that panic attack. Hindi na ako makahinga. I could not breathe anymore. I was so weak, and I just stayed in one place at umupo lang ako doon. Until my family realized, ay, sana? Wala na. So hinanap nila ako. I was there. I was so overwhelmed with people, you know. But not Jesus. Jesus, when he looked at the multitude coming to him, sabi dito, he had compassion. In the original Greek, you know, sabi doon na his stomach turned. Parang yun ang sinasabi doon, yung parang he felt so, you know, naawang-awa siya sa mga tao. Because in spite of many people, the number of people are there, Jesus can see that they are what? They are weary. They're already tired. And they are scattered. He could see their wounds, you know? When we approach God, sometimes iniisip natin galit ang Diyos sa atin dahil sa ugali natin. Pero nakikita ng Diyos yung mga sugat natin. May mga taong masamang ugali, di ba? Have you met someone na masama talagang ugali? Nakakairita, di ba? Dahil hindi mo nakikita yung sugat. But the moment you see the wound of that person, kung gaano kalalim yung sugat niya, you begin to understand. Christ has compassion on us. Kahit na makasalanan tayo, kahit masama ang mga ugali natin, naaawa ang Diyos sa atin. Why is God so compassionate? Because He can see our wounds. Alam niya bakit ganyan ang ugali natin. Alam niya that we are acting, we are speaking, we are moving out from our wounds. Bakit tong babae na to, hindi man lang nagsasmile? Meron akong na-meet one time na babae kasama ko sa office, hindi nagsasmile. Pag linalapitan mo, hahawak ka, gaganyan na kagad. Ayaw pa hawak. Tapos ayaw mag-smile. And everybody was irritated by her. No? Napakabastos naman ito, malisyosa to. Akala lahat may gusto sa kanya. You know? So lahat kami kinakantsawan namin. Oh, yan na naman si Miss Beautiful. Akala maganda. Hindi pwedeng tingnan, hindi pwedeng kausapin. And through the years, magkasama kami sa office and finally I got to talk to her, nag-usap kami. And I found out she was raped. Na-rape pala siya. Now I understand now bakit ayaw niyang lumapit sa lalaki. Isipin mo ha, hindi lang yun babae. Pwede yan maging kapatid mo. Pwede yan maging anak mo. You know? When I learned that, when I saw her wound, how she was raped, how she was traumatized in life, now I understand. It's okay if she doesn't talk to me. Okay lang. Okay lang talaga na hindi ko siya lapitan. You know, it's okay. You begin to understand. That's why Jesus had compassion on the crowd. So, mission is not about God telling us to go, mag-mission kayo. You go and preach the gospel. Or go, make disciples. Hindi lang yan utos ang Diyos. It started out with Christ having compassion on us. Amen? That's why when you are in a mission, when you are out there helping someone, doing what Christ would be doing, never forget. You are doing that, number one, because God has compassion on you. And God would like you to extend the same compassion that you have received from Him. Amen? Nani, may mga tao ba nga ngaroon na sinasabi nila, alam mo na ospital ako, hindi man lang ako naghirap, may tumulong sa akin. Ang sarap, di ba? Minsan kasi pag ospital ka, mas matindi pa yung gastos kaysa sa sakit. Mas gustuhin mo pang mamatay na lang sana ako. Bakit? Million na yung gastos mo. Ay! Pakibunot na lang. You know? Mas masakit pa yung babayaran mo kaysa sa sakit mo. And you know, while you were there, people came, people gave money, tinulungan ka sa ospital. Kaya paglabas mo, pag magaling ka na, then you hear someone who is sick and you go visit to the hospital, what do you do? Ha? Huh? Hindi ka nag-aatubiling tumulong din. Amen? You extend the same grace, the same mercy you receive, you extend it freely. Okay? So, the mission that God gives to the church is born out of His love and compassion for you and for the people that you are going to reach out. But take note, when Jesus called His disciples because He is going to give them His mission, okay? Dahil sa pagmamahal ng Diyos, dahil sa pag-ibig ng Diyos, dahil sa kanyang compassion, He is now telling the disciples, I'm going to pass on this mission to you. You will share this mission with me. So His mission is our mission. Then He calls the 12 disciples. Ang unang tinawag, ang unang binanggit na pangalan, sino? Sana ginawa ko na lang tong may premyo, ano? Sinong unang disciple na tinawag? Apostle. Okay, no cheating. Okay, bigas ka agad ng Bible. It was Peter. Right? Tandaan nyo palagi yan. Sa apat na gospel, pag minimension yung pangalan ng 12 na yan, the calling of the 12, Peter is always mentioned first. Sinong pinakahuling minimension? Ha? Oh, alam ni Father Henrich, si Judas daw. Yeah, that's true. Ang unang pangalan na binabanggit, si Peter, yung pinakahuli, si Judas. So it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When the 12 are mentioned, it's like that. Now, hindi ko alam bakit. Si Judas, alam ko bakit. Nasa huli. Pero you know, Peter on the front, maybe probably because God saw something special in him. Okay? So before they went and they were sent out to mission, you notice that God, nung tinawag niya na yung 12, sabi niya, now, as the Father has sent me, now I'm going to send you. You're going to go in the mission. You are going to continue with the redeeming work of Christ. Okay? The work of Jesus is to redeem. Ano sa Bisaya redeem ngaron? Tubos. Okay? Ginatubos, that's the work of Christ. Redeeming people and reconciling them back to God. That is His work. That is also the same mission He gives us. We share in His mission. Christ continues to reach out to our world through His church, through us. Okay? So basically, Christ is continuing His mission even now in our time. But He's doing it through us. Okay? Ginagamit niya rin tayo. Why? We are the body of Christ. Tayo ang kanyang kamay, tayo ang kanyang paa, lahat tayo kasama sa mission na yan, kasama si Kristo. Okay? But the first task that He gave the disciples, the apostles, okay, is not organizing, it's not planning, it's not arranging travel. You know, He did not say, okay, mag-planning na tayo ha, mag-organize kayo. Okay, gumawa tayo ng organizational chart kung paano natin gawin tong trabaho ko. Mag-book na kayo ng mga flights, mag-book na kayo ng travel natin. You know? He did not say that. The first task na dapat gawin nila, if we are going to go into mission, and this is something we need to understand, the first task that the church was commanded to do was to pray. The field is already white for harvest, but the laborers are few. Now pray to the Lord of the harvest. So the first task, Jesus is very clear that in the face of such a huge task, malaki po yung task natin. Okay? And this is something I always say when nasa funeral ako, when I go to a funeral and I see people very sad. You know, nalulungkot naman talaga tayo pag merong namatay. And in a funeral, I always say this. And I share this with people. I say, she has already fulfilled her mission. She is done. She has finished the work God gave that person. Tayo, nandito pa, marami pang trabaho. Okay, I always say that. Yung yumao, nagpapahinga na. Because that person is already done. Okay, he's finished. Whatever it is that God wanted that person to do, he has already accomplished it. And now he goes home to the Lord, enjoying, okay, God's presence and the amenities of heaven. But tayo, we are left behind. Bakit? Dahil hindi pa tayo tapos. We're not done yet. And there is a huge task ahead of us. Hindi basta-basta ang mission, ang trabaho na iniwan ng Diyos para sa atin. It is an enormous task, okay? That the first thing we need to do is not even to plan, it's not even to arrange things. Jesus is very clear that in the face of such a huge task and the amount of work before them, their first step is prayer. Can you say the word with me, prayer? Yun ang unang gagawin. If you're going to go on a mission, the first task is to pray. He commands them to pray. Prayer is essential before we begin any effort of ministry. So that whatever effort of ministry we undertake will be in accord with God's will. Okay? Every time you're going to go out, oh, bibisitahin ko yung friend ko. I will go visit my friend in the hospital. I will go comfort my friend at home. I will go and pray for someone. Before you go there, that task of ministry, it should always be started with prayer. Begin with prayer. Okay? It always begins with prayer because it is essential that before we begin any effort of ministry, we need to pray. Okay? Why? So that whatever we'll do will always be in accord with God's will. Bakit, Bishop, kailangan talaga yung kalooban ng Diyos, you know? You see, in the end, whatever your mission is, in the end, it doesn't matter what we accomplish. It doesn't matter what you accomplish if it is not in accord with God's will. Sabihin ko sa inyo, kahit sangkatutak ang accomplishment mo dito sa mundo, kung yan naman na hindi tugma sa kalooban ng Diyos, walang kwenta din. Amen? Amen? Because God will not be looking at things you did for yourself or for anyone else. It's only what you have done according to His will. That's why prayer is important, because if we do not pray, we might miss out on the will of God. And sayang lang yung trabaho natin. In the end, we did not accomplish anything. Okay? Prayer keeps us focused on our purpose. That's number one. Prayer will keep you focused on your purpose in life. Minsan, gumugulo ang buhay natin dahil nawawala na tayo sa purpose ng buhay natin. Amen? I remember a story of a missionary who went to Hawaii. Pumunta silang mag-asawa. Walang mission board ang magfa-finance sa kanila. So what they did was sell their house, sell their car, binenta nila yung ari-arian nila, then they went to Hawaii. Because nobody will finance their mission work. So they went there because they believe that God is calling them to go to that place and do mission work. So pagdating nila doon, dala nila yung proceeds ng pagbenta ng bahay tsaka kotse nila, and they spent it, they started the mission work, and finally, nauubos na yung pera nila, nagtrabaho sila. They work in a hotel. May yung babae naging parang assistant ng accountant doon sa hotel. Yung lalaki naman, parang nagmamanage siya ng mga tao doon sa hotel. And in two years' time, umangat talaga sila. Yumaman sila. They umangat yung posisyon nila sa hotel na yan. And after a few years later, they started their own hotel business. Yumaman sila. Yes, they're doing missionary work. Nagtayo na sila ng mission work. Nagtayo sila ng maliit na simbahan. Yumaman sila. They became very rich, wealthy. They started their own hotel. Nung mayaman na sila, sabi ng babae, mag-hire na lang tayo ng ibang missionary at mag-focus tayo sa business natin. Okay? Mas maganda kasi yung business, kasi effort, pera, pasok. Sa ministry, effort, walang pumapasok. And so they decided, sabi niya, okay, we will quit the missionary work, we will just do our business. Talagang lumago yung business nila. But in a few years' time, nagkagulong pamilya nila, nag-away-away sila, and before they know it, bumagsak ang negosyo nila, naghiwalay pa sila mag-asawa. Why? They lost that sense of purpose in their life. Bakit kayo pumunta sa lugar na yan? Ang punta nyo ba doon magpakayaman? Hindi. Ang punta nila doon is to do the mission work. And many of us, we end up in trouble. We, you know, get destroyed in the end because we lost touch with our purpose in life. Prayer will always keep you focused on God's purpose for your life. Amen? Amen. Today, I also celebrate my anniversary as bishop. Ito na yung pangalawang taon ko bilang obispo. Etong araw na mismo na to, June 14. And as I look at the scriptures today, I'm reminded that everything revolves around my prayer. Ang dami kong programang ginagawa, ang dami kong activities na ginagawa bilang bishop, but I cannot do without prayer. Why? Because if I do not anchor myself in prayer, I will lose focus on my purpose. Why did God call me to become a bishop? It's because of a mission that He has given me. But you see, many things happen when you're a bishop. You know, one of the things that happened to me when I'm a bishop, dati may mga tao hindi pumapansin sa akin, ngayon pinapansin na ako. Dati may mga tao hindi ako binabati, ngayon binabati na ako. There are places I used to visit bilang pare, wala man lang sumusundo sa akin sa airport. I go there and you know, oh, nandito ka na pala. Oh, so ganyan lang. Ngayon, tumatawag na, Bishop, what time is your flight? Kasi susunduin ka na. O, di ba, ang sarap ng buhay ng obispo. Those are the perks. You have benefits as a bishop. But if I focus on those things, that is not my purpose in life. I did not come to be served. Sana sabi ni Jesus, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. You know, there are two things the bishop does over the church. Itong dalawang bagay ang ginagawa ng obispo. Number one, the bishop presides over the church. Ako yung pinaka-chief administrator ng simbahan. Okay? I preside. Some bishops call it, you rule over your diocese. Yeah, you rule, you preside. Yeah. That's true. That's part of my job as a bishop. But there is a second thing about my work. I also serve. I am also your servant. Amen? Amen? Kaya minsan may mga tao, hindi kami nagsabi, Bishop, nahiya kami sa'yo. Bishop, hindi ako lumapit sa'yo, humingi ng tulong. Nahiya ako sa'yo. Bakit kayo mahihiya sa akin? Why are you going to be shy? That's my job. My job is to serve you. Amen? Amen? One time, may kinamusta akong tao. Sabi ko, kumusta yung anak mo nasa ospital? Sabi niya sa akin, Bishop, focus ka lang sa misa. Nandito tayo ngayon. You know, mag-focus tayo sa service. And I told this person, my service is to take care of you and even your daughter. Yan ang service ko. So the bishop is a presider. The bishop is at the same time a servant. So don't be ashamed. Don't be shy to approach me. Bishop, kailangan ko to. Bishop, kailangan ko ang tulong mo. You have that right because God called me to be a servant. Now, between the two, presider and bishop, being presider, masarap. You know? Bilang presider ng buong diocese, you know, you enjoy so many things. But that will not bring salvation. That will endanger my life if I focus on presiding only. Manganganib ang buhay ko. I need to focus on service. That's why yan ang tinatanong ko sa sarili ko at tinatanong ko sa mga tao. Am I serving you well? That's my question. Amen? My salvation depends on how I serve as your bishop. Kaya hinihingi ko talaga sa inyo, pagdasal niyo ako araw-araw. Pray for me that I will remain and I will stay a good bishop. A good bishop is the servant of everyone. Yan ang tunay na bishop. He's not just the presider, he is the servant of all. Amen? That's why I need to pray. I need to hinge my life on prayer so that I can focus on my purpose. My purpose that I became a bishop is to be your servant. Sana hindi ko makalimutan yan. That's why prayer is important. It will keep me focused. Amen? Now, the second thing about prayer keeps us open to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for guidance and awareness of the sacredness of our efforts. Amen? If you hinge your life on prayer, center your life on prayer, connection with Christ, okay, what happens is that you open your life to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you will be sensitive to His inspiration. And so when you are sensitive to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you will be guided. As a bishop, I make decisions every day. I have to decide. And some of those decisions I don't want to make. May mga decision ako na hindi ko gustong gawin. But that's my job. I have to decide. And so I have to pray. I want the Holy Spirit to guide me. Prayer keeps me guided by the Holy Spirit. And prayer, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, will give me an awareness of the sacredness of our efforts. Yun ang importante maintindihan natin. Alam mo, minsan binabaliwala natin yung ginagawa natin sa church. Para sa atin is nothing, baliwala yan. But every effort we make for God, with God's guidance, is sacred. Balaan. That's why when I stand before you, when I stand before you and share the gospel with you, I just don't go out here and blubber and talk and talk and talk. I am careful with my words. Because what I share with you is sacred to God. I see to it that, you know, sometimes I take away my opinions. Hindi yun ang dapat sabihin, yung opinion ko. Anong sinasabi ng Diyos? Yun ang importante. Bishop, tama naman yan. Nasa Bible yan. Oh yeah. Lahat ng sinasabi ko, nasa Bible. Pero ang tanong ko, yan bang gusto ng Diyos sabihin ko sa inyo ngayon? Amen? Your effort sa mga tatay dito, malapit ng Father's Day. Okay, kailan yung Father's Day? Next Sunday. Okay. Sa mga tatay, yung trabaho natin sa pagpo-provide for our family, you know, huwag niyong maliitin yan. Because that effort to provide for your family, to support your family, is a sacred effort. Sagrado't aron. Bukod basta-basta doon. Kahit maliit ang sahod ng tatay, gaano kaliit yung sahod ng tatay, pero pag yan ay ginagamit niya on purpose to support his family, that is a sacred effort on the father's part. Huwag niyong kalimutan yan. Hindi kailangan limpak na salapi ang ibibigay mo sa pamilya mo. We have to understand the sacredness of our effort. And you only get the awareness of that when you are in prayer. Minsan napapagod na tayo. Ayoko na magbigay ng pera sa mga anak ko. Ayoko na magbigay ng pera sa pamilya ko. Napapagod na ako. You forget and you are not aware how sacred it is. Kung gaano kasagrado yung nagpo-provide ka sa pamilya mo. Okay? We tend to forget that. Prayer gives us that awareness. Amen? Without prayer, we risk doing our works instead of His works. Yan ang kinatatakutan ko. I'm so afraid of that. That in the end, when I face my God, and finally, we are face to face, sabihin ng Diyos na lahat ng ginawa ko ay ginawa ko sa sarili ko. Wala akong ginawa para sa Kanya. Bakit? Dahil hindi ka nagdasal, lahat ng gagawin mo ay para sa'yo lamang. It's important that we pray. Kaya sabi ni Lord, O sige, I'm sending you out, my disciples, my apostles. Yeah, pinili ko kayong 12 kayo. And I'm sending you out on a mission. But before that, pray to the Lord of harvest. Got to pray first. Amen? That's why, may nagtatanong sa akin, grabe naman yung prayer natin. Meron tayong daily office of prayer, morning, evening. Meron pa tayong monthly prayer na ginagawa. Meron pang clergy's prayer. Meron pang rector's council prayer. Meron pang parish council prayer. Meron pang ladies prayer. Puro na lang tayo prayer ng prayer dito sa simbahan. Why are we doing that, Bishop? Because I want us to become a house of prayer first before we go into mission. Huwag tayong lipad ka agad doon, punta ka agad doon, magmi-mission-mission tayo. Nothing will sustain us in our mission like prayer. Prayer is very important. Then Jesus told His disciples, now you go. After prayer, sabi niya, preach the gospel. That's the very heart and soul of our mission, preaching of the gospel. The church is not a place where you can find good counsel. May mga taong pumupunta sa simbahan kasi yung pastor magaling magturo on financial management. Oh, ang pastor na yan, talagang mayaman yan. You know, he is good in financial management. Well, some people say, I like this church because the people here have, meron silang tinatawag na self-help. Marunong magturo, paano mag-improve ang sarili natin. You know, the church, yes, can be like that, but that's not the main thing the church is. The church is the home where the gospel is preached. Yung ebanghelyo. What is the gospel? The gospel is very simple. God loves you so much, but you are broken by sin. Mahal na mahal ka ng Diyos. Pero dahil sa kasalanan, tayo'y lumayo sa Diyos. And so God, not giving up on us, sent His only Son for you to die on the cross to redeem you back to God para tubusin ka at ibalik ka sa Diyos. That's the heart of the gospel. If the church will not teach that anymore, pag yan na hindi na mensahe ng simbahan, kahit gaano kaganda ng mga tinuturo natin, it's nothing. Because Jesus commanded us, you preach the gospel. And many Christians today don't even know what the gospel is. That's the gospel. That should be the very heart of what we speak and what we share in the world. Now, hindi pa tayo na kontento na salita lang. Ipapakita pa natin. You know, the works of God, to preach the gospel. The second is to alleviate suffering. Kaya you lay hands on the sick. Okay? You lay hands on the sick. You perform miracles because it is in our mission that we go out not only to preach the gospel, but to alleviate the suffering that we see around us. Wali kita itwali, kung wa mata kita gabulig gihapon, hay wa matpuos doon. Amen? Dapat gabulig na kita. To alleviate the suffering, there are people suffering from sickness, people suffering from poverty. Yeah, we try our best to alleviate that suffering. Amen? Amen. May nagtatanong sa akin, bakit Bishop, feeding ng feeding tayo? Ba't tayo na yung nag-feeding? Yeah. Because that is just a first step. To feed the poor. To clothe the naked. To even shelter the homeless. Those are the things I'm looking forward to doing in our church. Mission natin yan. We cannot do without that. That is part of our mission. Okay? So we preach the gospel. That's the works of Christ. We continue the works of Christ. We preach the gospel. We alleviate the suffering. And we need to confront evil. We are not to be complacent. Amen? talagang in-emphasize ni Jesus. At pakikita nyo sa ministry ni Jesus, He does it by casting out demons. He was really confronting evil. But you see, ang problema, ang evil sa mundo natin ngayon, hindi lang naman demonyo eh. But yung gawa ng tao din, and sometimes we need to confront that. Abortion is part of that. Some people just decided, you know, patay na yung mga bata. Don't allow them to grow. Sayang yung pagkain natin. Kung dadami pa tayo, maubusan tayo ng pagkain. Patayin yung mga bata. We need to confront that. Amen? Amen. Nagbibigay tayo ng CEC for life offering. Okay? Because our churches in the States, they really march the streets. They really confront. We hire lawyers. May mga lawyers tayong binabayaran natin pagtanggol yung mga tao na lumalaban against abortion. Marami pa. Abo-abo ang kalautan o kalibutan nga ra. And we are not to be silent. We are not to be complacent. We need to confront it. Amen? So those are the three works of Christ. Preach the gospel. Alleviate the suffering. That's why healing, you know, administer healing. Not only healing, one day if we can have a hospital, I do not know, one of our bishop, yung mga susunod na mga obispo natin, baka magtayo siya ng hospital. Diba? Hospital na makakatulong talaga sa mahihirap. That's one way of alleviating suffering. That's one way of healing people. Start your own hospital. O maybe, hindi lang hospital, magkakaroon din tayo ng sarili nating butika. Butika ng bayan. Where we can sell medicines and give medicines to the poor. You know, we can do so many things. But the important thing is we just begin where God wants us to begin. We start with prayer. Amen? That is the mission of the church. That is my mission as your bishop, to bring our community to go into mission. Trabaho ko yan. And I will do that until the very end of my life. When the hour of death comes for me, I pray to God that I will be doing it still hanggang sa huli. Hanggang sa huling hininga, yun ang ginagawa ko, and never give up on doing that. Amen? Thank you.